previously on Podcast Without Pretense. Where'd Ayaz go?
There's no way the cat will get into a fight. He'll be fine.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Strickland.
And I'm Eric Sandine.
And Ayaz is not here tonight. We are not going to torture him by choosing another movie that only he has to watch, because as funny a joke as that was the first time we did it, you can't dig that into the ground, right? You gotta let that lie. Second time. Although I don't know that we're actually gonna, Eric, you watched Ejecta, right? Or at least it was on while you were there.
I actively watched maybe 30 minutes of it. And then after that, I kept thinking I was missing things, but realizing that I wasn't actually missing anything. Yeah.
It's a horror movie where nothing fucking happens. It is. Yep. I have a lot of general things. I didn't take any notes because it really wasn't even worth paying that much attention to. Ejecta, by the way, was the film that we had picked to discuss on this show. If you do not know, one of the things we do on Podcast Without Pretense, really the only thing that ties this show together in any way, is that we will watch shitty movies on Netflix, typically on Netflix, not exclusively, and see how long we can devote 100% of our undivided attention to that task of watching these shitty movies. Because we noticed that our attention spans have been atrophying over the years, and we often will have multiple sources of distractions around us when we watch stuff, which ultimately means we don't really have any recollection of what happened for a lot of stuff, even stuff that we really like. And I mean, I'm very guilty of this. So we decided we would take on this challenge of really paying attention to stuff that does not merit our attention. And so for the last several dozens of episodes, we've been doing that. And this time it was my turn to pick a movie. And I tend toward the horror genre. I think bad horror movies can more often become entertaining by accident than other genres.
It's better than bad comedy. Bad comedy is just generally bad. So.
Bad horror and bad action, I think, are the two gold mines, right? And then sometimes we found bad family films can actually be really entertaining too. But yeah, bad comedy is just the worst. It is like, it's like getting a root canal. And so I picked the film based solely upon the art that was on Netflix, and it was called Ejecta, and the art had like a guy who looked like his eyes had been popped out of his head and screaming. That wasn't exactly what happened, as it turns out. But it was a horror movie, science fiction horror movie, that tried its damnedest to have you care about what was going on, and I just couldn't manage it.
No, there was nothing. There's nothing drew you into this movie, like, ever at all. There was nothing. That's why, like I said, there were like points where it was on, and I would think that I missed something because something should be happening, and I would rewind and just realize, nope, didn't miss anything.
yeah, I had the same problem. And part of it is that, you know, it's a low budget science fiction horror movie, which means that in order to save money, they do some stuff where they use very limited sets, one location shoot type place on a house, and a bunch of stuff in the woods, and then a whole bunch of stuff in like a warehouse / basement kind of set. And they also try to increase drama by withholding information from the audience, but it's information that just makes it, the lack of it just makes it more confusing. So the basic plot of this film is that there's this one guy who claims he was visited by aliens several years in the past. And that the aliens did something to him, and as a result, he is constantly living with pain, like migraines and stuff like that. And the movie has like two or three different little timelines that it flashes back and forth between, which, again, I am the master at picking a fucking film that doesn't follow a chronological narrative. That's my thing. Like, Eric, all right, here's how you could tell who picks what movie. If it's a movie that's got a cartoon in it or is about a talking animal, Eric picked it.
Yeah.
if it's a movie that has a non-linear story construction, I apparently picked it. And then Ayaz is kind of a wild card, but he frequently will pick stuff that ends up being religious.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So yeah, it seems to be our go-tos, but so this one would flash back and forth between like the guy who had been visited by aliens now being interrogated by an unidentified paramilitary organization.
Right.
I might be wrong about that. Eric, did you ever hear them give any indication? No.
Yeah. They never say anything about who they are, or why they're doing it, or what their goal is. Really. Like, we don't even know what their goal is.
They're just torturing this guy to get information, but the whole time you're like, but why is this important to you? Why do you care? Why go after this one guy as opposed to follow any other lines of inquiry?
There's zero reason given.
And it's here's how irritating this is. First of all, the guy who's playing the lead character is actually a pretty good actor. I thought that his performance was pretty good. The actress playing the lead interrogator, I never bought into it because she was trying to play this weird character who is acting semi-sympathetic and then turns into hard-ass interrogator and tries to ride. Yeah. She's trying to be both good cop and bad cop at the same time.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. And those are really the only two characters of note through most of this movie. It's the woman interrogating the dude, and then occasionally you're seeing little flashbacks where the dude has been talking to a documentary filmmaker who wanted to make a film about this guy's supposed experiences with aliens. And it doesn't help that a large portion of the movie is dedicated to the woman torturing this guy, again, for reasons we don't understand. We don't know why she needs to get this information or what she hopes to learn.
Yeah. Because other than the fact that, like, we know that she wants something about this alien. We don't know why. Yeah. We don't, like, they also, the military, like, seems to have some sort of, like, alien technology of some sort.
Right. That's not very none of well that's ever explained. Yeah.
Yeah.
apparently some of the tech that this paramilitary organization has is derived from alien technology, including one of the interrogation tools that they use on this guy. But here's the really frustrating part. She wants to torture the guy, but the guy has been living in agony for years because the aliens did this thing to him that seems to be irreversible and undetectable by human doctors. And so hurting him doesn't have any effect because he's been living with pain for this whole time. So it's literally watching her torture him and then watching him essentially laugh it off and then rinse and repeat. And you never, again, because you don't know anyone's motives, you don't really fucking care. Yeah. And it just goes till it stops.
Yeah, there was basically zero reason to care about any character in the movie.
And in case you want it spoiled, here's how it ends. You find out the guy is essentially possessed by an alien and that he can't be killed because the alien is controlling him and won't allow him to die. And so then he essentially ends up infecting the woman. And then I think the lead guy finally gets to die at that point because
he
alien leaves
at
him.
That point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the alien then inhabits the woman's body and she tries to shoot her own brains out and apparently can't multiple times. And that doesn't work at all. I'm getting an emergency alert. Let's see what's happening. Flash flood warning in this area till 3 a.m.
That's exciting.
Yeah, we've had waves of storms hitting Atlanta. We had some storms hit earlier this week, and then today we're under a warning for like severe storms and tornado watches and all that kind of stuff, but nothing of real massive impact hit my particular neighborhood. We're now having another thunderstorm move in. I can hear thunder. It doesn't sound like it's right on top of me yet, but it's on its way. Atlanta's been going through a hell of a time over the last few days because, as a lot of people have heard, because it got national news coverage, we had a stretch of I-85 collapse due to a fire that happened under an overpass, under a bridge, essentially, but it's actual part of the highway. And it collapsed last week. And this is a major artery in the Atlanta area. If you think of Atlanta, like think of it kind of like crosshairs with you know, a section going up and down, a section going left and right, and a circle around the perimeter. That basically gives you an outline of Atlanta's highways, although in this case the section that goes up and down also splits into a Y at the top and at the bottom. So you've got 75-85, that's your north-south. 75 at one point starts going northwest, 85 starts going northeast, and it was after the split along the northeast section of 85 where the collapse happened. Then you've got 285, which is the perimeter that goes around the city. So a major artery leading from downtown to the perimeter that goes around Atlanta and connects us to various suburbs around the city is now down, like both ways, because they ended up collapsing the entire highway because there was no way they could rebuild the north side without affecting the south side. So they took that whole section of bridge down. The streets that bridge passed over are closed down. That's Piedmont. It's a pretty major road in Atlanta. It's where all our strip joints are, really. Not all of them, but a lot of them. A lot of the adult novelty places are along Piedmont. So there's just a lot of people with a lot of frustration pent up in Atlanta right now, and they can't go anywhere. So for the last couple of days, the traffic has been horrendous in that part, but not as bad as it's going to be next week, because right now is spring break. And next week, when all the kids are back in school, it's really going to turn to hell. So it doesn't affect me directly. I don't live in that part of the city. I live in the city itself, like near downtown. So I'm not directly affected, but if I were to try and go to the northeast, I would have limited options. So yeah, Atlanta's been hit by a whole bunch of different disasters on different levels over the last 5-6 days. It's been impressive.
Yeah, Bay Area's been nice. It's been like 70 and sunny, so I'm just gonna
That's fine. It's been mostly nice in Atlanta. It's just that we've had a couple of stormy days recently. But I mean, like this past weekend was gorgeous. I've got the Renaissance Festival coming up that I'm going to be in this year, and we had our second to last rehearsal.
You say this year as if like it's a new thing, that it's just this year that you're starting this.
I alternate. I've told the cast, I've retired 4 times from the Renaissance Festival. Yeah, yeah. It's like the Marines. You're never really out. I'm looking forward to this season. Actually, I've got a new costume. I've got a part in the overall script that's a lot of fun. Of course, I wrote the script, so I'm kind of biased. I'm really pleased at how things have turned out. So, but this last weekend was our second to last rehearsal, and we had really nice weather for it. The kind that makes you wish that it was opening day instead, because, you know, it's just going to get warmer from here on out. So, anyway, that's Ejecta. We don't have to talk about it again. Ayaz gets a pass on this one. He can skip it if he really wants to. If he wants to watch it, you know, which would be the decent thing to do, he can. But it's his turn to pick too. So we don't even have a chance to pick another movie.
I like started taking notes on this movie, like, because my time for this movie was 6 minutes and 4 seconds. It was about when the credits started, like the opening. Because for some reason, I don't know why, I was just like, oh, I don't know if I can do this. Like, it was already just that boring. I took notes probably up until about 30 minutes in, when I was finally just like, wait, what am I taking notes on? Like, I'm literally just writing the entire screenplay because there's nothing else to write about.
Yeah. No, and there were, like, I was reading some reviews that seemed fairly positive, but I have a feeling that they perhaps were written by people who were friends of the filmmaker. Because, right. I mean, I'm like, seriously, like, there was nothing truly inventive to me about the script. The dynamic between the torturer or the interrogator, if you prefer, and the alien abductee wasn't very interesting, nor did it really lead to anything particularly, you know, revolutionary as far as stories go. It just, to me, was kind of like, you know, a boring attempt at telling a pretty simple story. I want to say, like, there was a point where I was thinking there was a character that I found that I recognized the actress, and I think it was the interrogator, actually, and I'm pulling up her profile. Yes, I now know what else I knew her from. So we watch Ejecta. That was a film made in 2014. I don't remember. Did we watch Pontypool for this show, or did I just do that on my own?
I don't think we watched that.
Pontypool is a show. It was a show about like a shock DJ type guy who is.
We didn't watch it for this show, but both of us watched it. We talked about it at one point. Yeah.
So she was in Pontypool as well. And that was another one of those movies where a very low budget film with just a couple of set pieces where I felt like it had great aspirations. And even that one, Pontypool, I think, was more on track to being a real movie than Ejecta was.
Yeah, it was. I remember Pontypool, and I remember pretty much thinking, well, that was not that much of a waste of my time. Like, it was an acceptable film. Yeah.
Have you watched anything else recently, whether it's good or bad or indifferent?
Movie-wise, I actually don't. I can't think of any that I've watched recently. So not really.
I keep torturing myself by watching movies that I really should save for Podcasts Without Pretense. Especially when it comes down to like one of you guys picking it. I'm like, I'm sorry, guys. I've already watched that one. Although I've been a little bit better. I finally watched one that's been popping up on my my recommended list for a while. He Never Died. The movie with was it Henry Rollins in it?
That's coming up for me too. I haven't watched it yet.
I liked it. It's pretty interesting. Yeah. Especially Rollins has this great way of playing a character who is just so done. He's just done. And he's like he is you can't tell if he's purposefully being obtuse when people are asking him questions or if he really has just checked out that much.
Right.
But it was pretty good. I liked it. It was, it wasn't a perfect film or anything like that, but I gave it 4 stars while I could. 'Cause now Netflix has switched over to thumbs up or thumbs down, which fucks us.
Yep. It kind of screws things up a lot.
Yeah. Unless they give you like a percentage of how many people said thumbs up versus thumbs down so that we can kind of judge how bad a movie is going to be, that really screws us over because we would always base our picks on how Netflix would predict we would rate the movie. And if it was more than 2 stars, we usually skipped it.
Yeah, pretty much.
And Eric's the wild card in that one because apparently Eric is kinder to movies than the other two of us are.
I don't know. My ratings are just in general very screwed up. So like even a 1 might be actually a great movie. I'm not entirely sure. but that's probably also because I haven't rated anything on Netflix for a while. So basically it's just trying to go off of what I watch, which is either crap or more crap.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got into every once in a while I would get super bored, and because I don't have the capability of just sitting back and letting life happen, I would jump on to Netflix and start rating movies I had watched, but aren't even on Netflix, just so that I could build out my, my profile more. So I've been known to do that.
I have no idea what genre or what Netflix has me pegged as, but it's probably very strange.
Yeah, no, you are an odd duck. in Netflix's eyes. And of course, you know, I has created a profile just for Podcasts Without Pretense on his Netflix, and he would rate all the movies super high instead of super low. So his is even more screwed up than ours are.
Yep. Yeah.
But yeah, it's Ayaz's turn to pick, so I guess we won't go to the point of picking one. It would be unfair. Plus, Lord knows if we told Ayaz he had to watch another movie and he hasn't watched the one that he was supposed to for today. I don't know how we're gonna hope for better than a better result. Not that Ayaz picking a movie guarantees that he'll watch the movie he picked.
That's true. Makes it slightly more likely, though.
It at least gives us more ammunition if he doesn't.
Yeah,
because we can yell at him for picking a film that even he wouldn't watch. I don't know of any more of the Left Behind series that we can pick or anything along those lines.
Oh man, I did have a religious movie on my Netflix queue, but I don't remember what it was anymore.
Yeah. I tweeted earlier that I actually started to rewatch a movie we watched for Podcasts Without Pretense, but it's Singham, which was one of the ones that we were all very genuinely entertained by.
That's
so
a good movie. Yeah,
it's like, I mean, it's a frickin' terrifying movie because of how fascist it is, really, with the cops being able to do essentially anything. They're Singham is a hero who is literally above the law. He does terrible, terrible, illegal things in an effort to bring down the bad guys because the ends justify the means. It reminds me of how other cultures would interpret U.S. law films, like the Dirty Harry movies, that kind of thing.
I mean, it's pretty close to that whole narrative, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, you've got a lot more zany slapstick physical humor in the first half than you do with your typical Dirty Harry movie, but I had completely forgotten how much physical humor was in the beginning of that. They have there's this one cop character in Singham whose only purpose is to get hit in the head and fall down and make funny faces, but he's only in the first half before the bad guy really starts to try and take Singham down. But that's an entertaining movie. If you have not seen it, it is still on Netflix and you should watch it.
I've recommended that movie to a lot of people, actually.
it's just genuinely I have a smile on my face. Also, the lead actress in that movie is like a goddess. She is so beautiful. It's ridiculous. It shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah.
And the dude is ripped as well. I mean, the guy's he's got an 8-pack going on. So everyone in that movie who's playing a lead protagonist type character is gorgeous. And then the bad guy's got these weird bug eyes. It's great. So Eric, how are things going out in the Bay Area?
Great. I know you've been on a workout kick for a while, and I've kind of been there too. I started waking up at 6 a.m. though, which is starting to take a toll on me, but yeah.
Well, I find that going to bed early, say 9:45.
I'm not very good at that. Yeah. But
I'm closing
basically
in.
Joined a rock climbing gym, and the best time to go is super early.
Yeah. Yeah. For work, I haven't done it yet. I really got to get on this. I've found every excuse to not start, and I've got to stop that. For work, I agreed to take several bar classes, and bar is inspired in part by ballet and yoga. It's typically something that an exercise class. It's almost always 99% women. There's very few men that take bar classes.
Right.
But I was asked to do it really as an experiment to see what it was like to learn about how these small motions that you do in bar classes, how they can have physiological effects. You know, you're not doing these big range of motion type workouts. And so I just haven't gone yet. I need to do it. But I'm actually really intimidated by it because my sense of balance is not great. And I know, like, I have no doubt that this workout, as low impact as it is going to kick my ass. And but knowing it, you know, like, at least I'm going in like humble, right? I'm not sitting there like, all right, ladies, let me show you how it's done. No, I know it's going to kick my ass. So that, I hope that wins me some points, because I don't want, like, I even asked a friend of mine who used to be a coworker and now she teaches bar up in the DC area. And I said, would it be like, I don't know the protocol. Would it, I don't want to be seen as encroaching on a space for women. And she's like, no, guys take the class too. It's just, they're rare, but they do. And as long as you're respectful, everything's fine. I'm like, all right, well, that's good. That's what I was planning, but I just wanted to make sure I wasn't automatically committing a faux pas. And then as soon as that's over. Yeah.
Sorry. I just, a bar method website, like for one of the local places, every single photograph is a picture of a woman.
Yep.
Like every single one of them. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, like I said, 99% of the classes are all women. Like,
yeah,
it's rare for men to take the but they're welcome. They just, you know, obviously you have to be respectful, sure, and everything like that. And so I've got a package of five classes that I have to take, and I really need to start doing it. And my plan is, as soon as I'm done with those, once I've done that and I've written about it for the website and I've, you know, talked about the experience, then I plan on officially joining the gym in our office space, our office building, and going to that regularly. So mostly right now I've been doing some cardio and a lot of just like walking, which really isn't cardio because I'm not getting my heart rate up enough for it to be cardio. Yeah. But occasionally I'm doing actual cardio workouts too. And I am now within 10 pounds of my target weight, which means by the time I hit that, I will have dropped 40 pounds.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's crazy. I'm very pleased with it. But I've just been, really what I've been doing is just counting calories by logging meals and just keeping a real close eye on that. And not denying myself stuff I really like. I'm just making sure that I'm not going nuts about it. And it's worked out great. Like, I'm still eating really good food. It's just not as rich, you know, in general. Like, there's a lot less sauce. Not so much queso. No more queso. But I've been very pleased with it. And I want to add exercise to it so that I can, you know, really get in, not just drop the weight, but getting good general health. So that's my plan.
Yeah, it's fun. I'd never been rock climbing before, and I did it like 2 weeks ago and joined the gym a week later. But it's a great deal because there's two in San Francisco, there's one in Oakland, one in Berkeley. You can go to all of them, and they all also have full gyms.
Oh, wow.
So it's like cheap for what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, not super cheap because, you know, I'm here, so yeah, nothing is, but
nothing in the Bay Area is super cheap. It's all a matter of a perspective, I suppose. Yeah,
pretty much.
The one in my office is actually surprisingly affordable considering the location. Like, when they told me what the part of it is, that they give a discount to people who work in that building. So you get there's like a corporate discount. But I was still shocked. It is about half of what it would cost if I got a monthly, membership over at the bar class.
Jeez.
So I'm like, I guess I'm gonna be stretching and balancing and doing these exercises with a whole bunch of rich ladies because it's expensive. But like, yeah, and like I said, I was really shocked at how affordable the gym over in my office area is by comparison. Like, I was looking at different gyms around the area, and all of them were more expensive than the one that's in the building I work in. But the building I work in is like one of the prime pieces of real estate in Atlanta right now.
Right.
So it really surprised me. It's cool with me though. I'm not complaining. I'm just surprised.
Yeah, I wouldn't complain about the cheap gym.
No.
Surprising, however, probably.
I found that my machine of choice is the elliptical. I love the elliptical. If I'm going
to
do cardio.
I used
cardio,
to have one.
Yeah?
It was the easiest machine ever to just zone out on, because you just like read half a book while on like in a session on the elliptical.
Yeah, and it's you know, if you've got one where you can do like the variable resistance and all that kind of stuff, that's great because it changes up the workout enough so that you're not just getting into a rut or anything. It's constantly changing up on you. And I would do it on the cardiovascular setting. So it would always like, I was getting my heart rate up into that range pretty reliably, especially since I'm still in terrible shape. So it does not take much for me to get there. But I like it because it was such low impact, right? Like it didn't, your knees and hips aren't punishing you afterward, which was nice. So, I wish I had more space in my house to get one, but all the rooms in my house are actually pretty small. So while I have several rooms in my house, I don't have one large enough to dedicate that kind of a piece of equipment to it.
My house, if we had any large workout equipment, that would just be the only thing you could do with that room.
Yeah. Like,
that would be it. The one piece of equipment, pretty much.
I don't want to dedicate a room just to that. Like if we didn't use our garage, then maybe I would put it in like the garage, but we use our garage, for which I'm thankful, because occasionally we get hail and it's nice to have a car parked in a place where it won't get damaged by that. So
yeah.
Yeah. It's I want to be able to work out at home, but I don't really have the space for it. I should try that DDP yoga thing. I should really try it.
I have no idea what that is.
DDP is a former professional wrestler who lives here in Atlanta. And created a yoga workout called DDP yoga that is variations on classic yoga poses. And he was just recently inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, partly for his work outside from being a wrestler, because he's credited with saving the lives of people like Jake the Snake Roberts and Scott Hall by helping them kick drug habits, or at least manage them, and then to also engage in this yoga to improve their health. So it's pretty – I mean, if you research his story, it's pretty cool. The guy's this dude from New Jersey who was like a club promoter for a while and then got into managing and professional wrestling. When he was 35 years old, he started actually wrestling. 35 is ancient. Jeez. To start wrestling. And people thought he wouldn't go anywhere, and he ended up really getting over with the fans to the point where eventually WCW made him the champion. And so he was WCW champion for a while. It's a pretty incredible story. He's also just a nice guy. He has a mouth like a sailor, but is a nice guy. I've met him a couple of times, and he even gave me tickets to a show, to one of the WWE shows once, King of the Ring in Columbus, Ohio, and was just super nice about it. Like, there was a point where I came up to him, and I said, I just want to thank you so much for giving us the tickets. I can't wait to see the show tonight. And he's like, oh, yeah, here, tell you what, let me give you my number, because sometimes they fuck this up, and if they fuck it up over at the box office, they fuck that up, you come calling me, man, and I'll let you in. And I look at him like, DDP is about to give me his personal cell phone number. It was a number that I kept on my – I kept that number on my phone for a really fucking long time. I never called him, but I kept it on my phone forever. And he used to chat with my wife a lot. My wife used to work in reservations for an airline, and she worked in a special desk for reservations. And he would call one of our coworkers to get reservations on flights. But sometimes her coworker was, you know, off. He was like on vacation or whatever. And so her coworker would say, hey, call up Rebecca. She'll take care of you. And so he would call up my wife. And she tells this great story where he called her up and she says, hi, Paige. How are you? I'm doing great, sweetheart. How are you? I'm very well, Paige. What can I do for you? He said, I'm flying out to, you know, wherever, like California, and I wanted to see if I could upgrade. Well, Paige, I'm looking on the list, and I'm sorry to say, but you're not the number one medallion on the list. It doesn't look like I'm going to be able to upgrade you. And he says, well, I'm still number one in your heart, right? She's like, yes, yes, Paige, you're still number one in my heart.
That's awesome.
You know, she loves him. She loves him. She's like, he's the best. He's just, he is his gimmick. He's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, anyway, DDP yoga, crazy, yoga workout that I keep on talking about trying. And,
they're not a sponsor, but they should be,
you know, they've sponsored a lot of shows, but not ours.
Really?
No one sponsored us, Eric.
I mean, yeah.
It's amazing that we even have GFQ agreeing to put our stuff out there.
I know.
I don't know what IAS has on Andrew, but
it's got to be deep.
It's, yeah. There's, I'm sure blood was involved somewhere. But yeah, it's a But DDP Yoga does sponsor a lot of shows. It's mostly the wrestling podcasts you'll hear about. Like, yeah, we're sponsored by DDP Yoga. Like Stone Cold Steve Austin is sponsored by him a lot. And yeah. JR as well. And Jim Ross. Anyway, I assume you didn't watch WrestleMania. You didn't get to watch the heartbreaking retirement of The Undertaker.
I didn't know that was happening, but yeah, that sounds heartbreaking. Yeah. I mean, I know who that person is, so yeah.
Well, yeah, he's been wrestling as long as you've been alive, so I'm not surprised. Yeah. he had his final match, presumably, against Roman Reigns, and then at the end of it, he took off his ring gear, his coat and his hat and everything, and he left it in the middle of the ring and then walked out, and people got real emotional about it. Not me. Because I haven't seen it. I just know all about it. I watched some of WrestleMania, and then my wife said, you want to go out to eat? And I said, yeah. To be fair, though, I had also had a full day of rehearsal at the Renaissance Festival. So at that point, I just wanted to eat and sleep. That was all I cared about at that point. According to my Fitbit that day, just at rehearsal, I burned 2,500 calories, which is ridiculous. Yeah. No, that's insane. And it's largely because of having to walk a lot and to do a lot of sword fighting. Like we do, you know, in the show, yeah, we've got two or three different scenes with sword fights. Well, three, and I'm in two of them. And we were performing them in front of the rest of the cast for the first time. And I think all of that got my heart beating a little harder. And I think Fitbit takes heart rate into consideration when it looks at calories burned. So it probably thought I was working out harder than I actually was.
Right.
But yeah, so I was ready for food. And after doing a day full of combat, I really didn't care about watching more stage combat, even if it was in a ring.
Yeah, that sounds fair.
Yeah. All right. We've gone for about 40 minutes with just the two of us. We don't have another movie to talk about. We don't have really anything else to cover. Unless there's anything specific you're looking forward to, Eric, that you want to chat about.
Okay. Nothing. Rogue One comes out on DVD soon, so that's exciting.
Yeah. Are you at all interested in the Han Solo prequel film that's going to be coming out, or do you not care at all?
I don't care as much as I probably should.
I think I'm in the same boat. Look, I love Star Wars, dude. I grew up watching Star Wars. I was like hardcore Star Wars fan, had a ton of the Star Wars toys. Could not give a shit about this Han Solo.
Yeah, I'm not.
I don't. Like, I don't. part of it is that I don't need to know more about characters I already love.
Yeah.
I'd rather see new stories with new characters to fall in love with.
That's pretty much how I am like right now. I don't really want to go back. Show me new stuff.
Yeah. I mean, we already know what happens to Han Solo. We've seen the Star Wars 7, and so we know everything that happened. We don't really, do you really care how he won the Millennium Falcon? We know he did it. We know he won it from Lando Calrissian. We know he made the Kessel Run. We don't need to see any of that. Like, yeah, I don't get it. I don't know. The prequels are really good.
Oh, it was out yesterday. No. Crap.
Oh, Rogue One is?
Anyway, sorry. Yeah.
I like that movie despite itself, I think. I thought the movie had a really interesting style to it. I was entertained by it, although almost in the sense of I wish it weren't a Star Wars movie.
Right.
Because for a movie that sets up A New Hope, there's not a whole lot of hope at the end of that movie.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah. But it's still...
that's all I'm excited about.
It's still well made.
Yeah, it was well made. I enjoyed it. It's fun. I'll get the Blu-ray and watch it a couple times.
There you go. It's good to have goals. Yeah, I can't think of anything that I'm interested in seeing American Gods when that comes out, the Neil Gaiman series. That looks like that looks phenomenal from the previews. I'm really looking forward. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, did I tell you I just like randomly started the Discworld series again?
Oh, Terry Pratchett.
I got tired of reading like depressing nonfiction, and I picked up what was the first one? The Wizard one and the Wizard Color series, The Color of Magic.
Yeah.
Because I just had a copy sitting there and I got through that and I'm like, oh yeah, these are entertaining. I'm going to read these instead of depressing things now.
Yeah, those books are great. I do feel that they start to suffer when you get toward the end of the series. I mean, obviously, you know, anyone who knows about Terry Pratchett knows that he suffered from Alzheimer's, a type of Alzheimer's. And toward the end, several of his books feel almost interchangeable. Like, it's almost the same plot with three or four of them. It's still very well written, but it feels like you're hearing the same story that you've already heard in a previous book, especially the ones with the guy who becomes the postmaster. Those books all seem the same. But the series with the witches, those are phenomenal. The series with the Night Watch, those are amazing as well. And if you don't know who Terry Pratchett is, you need to go out and read some Terry Pratchett books. He was mostly known as a humorous fantasy author. So his books in the Discworld series all take place in this fantasy world that the fantasy stories are largely allegories to things that happen in our world. And it's an opportunity for Terry Pratchett to lay down some satire and commentary about ludicrous things that happen in our real world, but in the context of this fantasy setting. And they're phenomenal.
Oh, I didn't know Discworld was, or American Gods was this month. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to that too.
And have you ever read Good Omens?
Yeah.
Good Omens is the one that's by Neil Gaiman, who wrote American Gods, and by Terry Pratchett. They co-wrote Good Omens, and it's kind of like The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Apocalypse. And there is no other book I can recommend more than that one. I think it is almost a perfect book. It is so entertaining and so ridiculous, and the satire is fantastic. It's very dry British humor. So if that's not your thing, that you're not going to enjoy it. But I have bought, and this is not a joke, I have bought no fewer than 4 copies of that book, because I'll lend out a copy to someone, I'll never get it back, and I'm okay with just going out and buying another one. And I will never buy a digital version of it. I will always buy another hard copy. So while we talk about shitty movies, we also talk about awesome books. So you can go read that. The last book I read was actually another Neil. Well, no, I read Snow Crash. Finally, I'd never read it before. Yeah. So I finally read Snow Crash. That was actually really good. Also, very relevant to today's world in many ways.
Yep.
But then I also read Neil Gaiman's Norse mythology book. I highly recommend that as well. That's just Neil Gaiman telling his version of actual Norse tales. So he didn't invent them, but it is his telling of them. And it is the audio book is fantastic because it is Neil Gaiman reading it out, and it's really well done. So highly recommend that as well.
I don't think I probably heard about it at some point, but yeah, I have not read that.
It just came out this year. It was like maybe a month and a half ago or something like that. But it's Audible,
still in hardcover.
Yeah, the Audible version is thoroughly entertaining. If you ever like to listen to audiobooks, I usually like to read books rather than listen to audiobooks. This is an exception. Mm-hmm. I actually prefer to hear Neil Gaiman read it in his own voice. I think it adds something to the storytelling aspect. So highly recommend that one too, especially if you like Norse mythology. You really learn how big an idiot Thor was. He was a complete dolt, but entertaining dolt. The story about him dressed up in drag in order to fool a giant into marrying him is amazing. But yeah. So I guess next week, assuming that all of us are available, or at least two of us are available, we will try and do another episode, and maybe we'll get Ayaz's pick. We might even get his pick before next week's episode, because sometimes we'll do that offline and we'll just go ahead and watch something. In fact, I might write to him. Yeah, we'll write to him and see if we can get it. We'll tweet out maybe we'll tweet out what the movie is if you guys want to try and watch it too. And then we'll see about having a discussion about whatever film Ayaz picks. So I guess that means it's time to stare into the future. So next time on Podcast Without Pretense. Ayaz, seriously, how did you find Bring It On, Jesus?
It shouldn't take you 4 days to respond to an email.